All right, you can hear me now. Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of standing before you, the privilege of bringing the word. I'm going to pray and then get started. Father God, we love you. We love you and we need you, Lord. We pray that you pour your spirit out on us this morning. God, anoint my words. Cause me not to speak my words, but yours, Lord. Cause me to share your word. Cause me to bring you glory and honor and praise, Father. God, I pray that you would move in us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Real quick prayer request. Next week I won't be here. I'll be up at the ranch. For those of you, there's a lot of unfamiliar faces here. That might be my fault, but I think there's visitors or people who I haven't seen before, either way. So I work up at the Flying H Youth Ranch with troubled teenage boys, and next weekend, the families will all be there. It's family resolve, fall family resolve, so it's a chance to try to work on some reconciliation right then and there. And so if you could be praying for us, I will be speaking on Saturday up there, and then somebody else is speaking on Sunday. Last time I had to do three sessions, so I'm only doing one this resolve, which I'm thankful for. So if you could just be praying for the boys, be praying for the parents as they come out to us, and for safety, because they're coming from all over the place, Texas, Arizona, all over. All right. The way of the fool, according to the Proverbs. So over 2,000 years ago, the sages, wise folks, sat down and collated 31 chapters of wise sayings, a lot of which were right from Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. Many of those proverbs cover the fool, or at least touch on the fool, and it's my privilege this morning to take all of their wisdom, boil it down, wrap it up in a nutshell, and deliver it to you, right? Yes, thank you for laughing at that. I can't do that. There are a few things I can do, though. We're going to do a rough sketch where they have painted in vivid detail the fool. I'll give a rough sketch of the caricature, the character they have portrayed for you. And then I will draw attention to some particular details of their vivid portrayal. And then I would like to exhort you, of course. I don't know how the colors are going to render on my theme. We'll see how that goes. The way of the fool is portrayed in the Proverbs. We can define it in English, fool, a person who acts unwisely. It's not too deep there. The Hebrew, you have three different words that are constantly being translated as fool or foolish or folly. And these are not the Hebrew words. They're a close approximation of how you pronounce them. Something like evil. No, it's not evil. It's a different word, different language. Evil, which would be foolish, idiot, or fool. Kessel, which would be stupid or insolent. Peti, which would be folly, simplicity, youthful naivete. These are just definitions. If this was what the fool was, I could give you a definition and we could be done, right? The sages knew that wasn't how you do it. No, they take 31 chapters to layer, one on top of another, a description of who the fool is. The Proverbs are not some scattering of tiny little disconnected sayings like we tend to treat them. Most will look at 1 through 9, chapters 1 through 9, and there's a very cohesive message. It's talking about the Lady Wisdom versus Dame Folly again and again and again, and their voices calling out, and who's going to respond to which. And then at 10 on, everybody feels like it's just kind of a, not everybody, but it just kind of feels like anybody's game, right? You just read a little couplet, and that's a great proverb, right? A lot of us treat it like, which is great, read a proverb a day, not a proverb a day, yeah. A chapter of Proverbs a day throughout the month. So what is today? October 6th? Is that right? So this morning you read Proverbs 6. It's a great model because there's 31 Proverbs. A lot of our months have 31 days. So you read one a day and you get through it all. I don't think I've ever before sat down and read through the Proverbs over a couple of days like I did this time. As I tried to get in the text. Yeah, I can go to my computer and type in fool and give me all the times fool shows up or folly shows up, and I did that. But if you sit down and just really sit in the Proverbs as a whole, and you read them as a whole, Please do. Nothing I can do here, right now, in my half hour, is going to do for you what it will do if you sit in the scriptures. Sit in the scriptures, please. I haven't been doing great at it. I haven't been doing great at my devos, being in the word. It's so hard. It's so easy to become that last thing to do because I am busy. I don't remember who it was. I should have looked up the quote. I want to say Martin Luther, but I don't think that's right. He had a really, really, really busy day that he laid out in this one of his writings, and he talked about all the things he had to do. So he was going to get up 3 hours earlier than normal to spend extra time in the scriptures. Your busyness should drive you to the scriptures, not away from the scriptures. We're not great at it, but please do. So nothing I can do here. Yes, proclaim the word, and God, please, Spirit, move. But you need to be in the word for yourself, right? But one of the things I saw as I sat in the scriptures myself is it's really all about the way of the fool versus the way of the wise. The whole thing. That's not just chapters 1-9. That's not just a couple of verses here or there. When you're reading about parenting, when you're reading about sexual temptation, when you're reading about whatever you're reading about in the Proverbs, it is about the way of the wise versus the way of the fool. Can you guys see that all right? Yeah, it's showing up. And at its root is the fear of the Lord. Mike Hawkins did a great job the other day. I was so thankful. I feel really strongly about certain things with the fear of the Lord, and I was really thankful. Mike Hawkins brought it around a couple weeks ago. Was that a couple weeks ago or last week? Last week. Brought it around to the fact that it is a trepidation. It is a trembling. It is not just a reverence. It is not just a, yeah, God is good. It is that. But it's more. It's that shaking, quivering, my God is big. And I should fear the one who can condemn my soul to hell. And thank God that I have the hope of Jesus Christ. And I don't live in that fear. But the fear of the Lord is going to be what guides you down the path of the wise versus the path of the fool. Throughout chapters 1-9, that's probably pretty small, but that's all right. Especially in chapter 9 is the passage I chose, but it's throughout 1-9. You have Lady Wisdom versus Dame Folly. I don't know why they choose to call her Dame Folly. The Proverbs don't, but whoever I was reading called her Dame Folly. And both of them cry out, whoever is simple or foolish, let him turn in here. And both of them offer food to eat and something to drink. Lady Wisdom, in the earlier part of chapter 9, offers meat that she has prepared and wine that she has pressed. And she says, come eat and drink with me, that you may have so many blessings. Dame Folly, she sits at the corner of her house and she calls out too, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And she offers meat, but she says food that is stolen is so sweet. And she offers water. But it's shortcuts. It's the way of the fool. It's the way of the seductress. It's the way of the adulteress. And it stems from the fear of the Lord. So when we read the Proverbs, and you read about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom yielding godliness and understanding, rest, delight, equity, justice, life. Proverbs 9:10 there is the one that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And then up top, I put the words in among the tops of the tree like fruit 18:20-21 says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no fear of the Lord. Psalm 14:1, which yields folly, which yields loss, a beating, sloth, pain, strife, suffering, shame, and death. That is the fruit of folly. And as you sit in the scriptures, as you sit in Proverbs and meditate and read in it, this is the picture that is drawn. Formatting messed up there a lot. The fool and the wise are the two being portrayed against each other. When you read about the wicked and the righteous, that is the fool, that is the wise. When you read about the sleeper who sleeps when he should be gathering, that's the fool. The gatherer, he's the wise. When you hear about the one following his own way, who's that? His own way, that's the fool. The one following the Lord's way is the wise. The scoffer is the fool, and whatever was supposed to be there is the wise. I won't look it up right now. The one who listens, actually, is what that one was. Have you ever seen 3D CGI, computer graphics? I don't know how many of you are familiar with how it works, but art works the same. I'm not an artist. I'm not into computer graphics, so I'm speaking from my ignorance to a small degree here. But I did watch a program on computer graphics. What they do is they lay the base patterns, and there'll be triangles and circles, and it's just ugly, ugly rendering, right? And then they add a layer on top of that, and they'll add another layer on top of that. And so if you see like a deleted scene from a Marvel movie or something, and it's very unfinished and choppy, all the shapes are there, and you know, things are there, but they haven't, the depth hasn't been added yet. They go over and they add another layer. It's called, they layer it, they layer, they layer, they layer, until they have this vivid portrayal of what we see on the big screen. That is what the collection of the Proverbs is meant to do. It's a consistent layering. This is who the fool is. He is wicked. This is who the fool is. He is a sleeper. He's a sloth. He's a sluggard. He follows his own way. So it was my job to preach on the fool in Proverbs. Well, the Proverbs are about the fool and the wise man, and it's about the contrast between them. So if you go and look up the fool in Proverbs, you'll find a lot, but there's a lot you're going to miss. Because it doesn't say fool or folly every time, right? It says all these other things. The fool is the scoffer. He is the sluggard. And there might be small nuance differences between them, and a lot of theologians will go into that, and that's great. But the fool is the over-encompassing one, and everything else kind of falls under that umbrella. So I just wanted to cover a brief survey. What do we see about the fool then? Who is the fool? Those are supposed to be small. Don't worry. What's on up there, I'm going to say. Main characteristics of the fool is that he hates instruction, despises wisdom. 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Philosophy means what? The love of wisdom. Philo and sophy. There's a prefix, the... whatever the rest of the word is called. I'm blanking. But it means the love of wisdom. Misogyny is a phrase that we all know, or a word we all know, and that's what the hatred of women. So somebody who's misogynistic is shows hatred toward women. Gune is from woman in Greek, and miso is the prefix for hatred. So a misosophy is one who would hate wisdom. And if you, I looked it up and read on some forums, and everybody's like, no, there's no such thing. Nobody hates wisdom. No, the fool hates wisdom. The one who says there is no God hates wisdom and hates instruction. A misosophist, it's a little bit of a mouth tongue twister, which I don't need right now because I'm already nervous. Another main characteristic, the fool, he suffers. He is beaten and he finds death. Oh man, the language is so strong. I'll go ahead, I've got it here. 10:8. Says, a babbling fool will come to ruin. So does the next verse there, 10:10, says the same thing. A babbling fool will come to ruin. 10:14 says, the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. And 10:21 says, fools die for lack of sense. There are other passages that talk about the rod being for his back. There are other passages that talk about stripes needing to cut deep into the fool. There are passages that talk about the fool being unable to learn. He never will. And then there are Proverbs that talk about the fool needing discipline to learn, that there is hope. The riddles of the wise, as we talked about in the introduction, right? Giving us both realities. They are a curse and a shame to their parents. think that's probably the most devastating characteristic. They're a curse and a shame to their parents. 10:1 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Which is such a painful picture. The joy that a child should be for his mother. But it's a sorrow. 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So I work up at the ranch, and it's tempting to say, my boys are fools. But for so many reasons, I don't want to say that. They play the fool, and that's language I'll use with them. You really played the fool on that one. It's what I say in order to avoid calling them stupid or idiot because of how devastating their behavior is. Our ministry is a ministry to families who are broken and finished. They're done. Or they're right on the verge. I've had parents describe feeling like they were going insane. I've had parents describe being this close to killing their child. They're at the end of themselves. They don't know what to do. And those are the families we serve at the ranch. And we serve the boys who they send to us. And I get to answer a fool according to his folly. And I get to apply that discipline, which is so heavy. Back to that one real quick. My boys hate instruction. They've despised destruction. Instruction. They've suffered for it in their life. Their lives are falling apart, whether they've had jail time or not. Whatever it is, their lives are total wrecks. Some of them know something has to change and they're willing to come to the ranch. Others insist on their own way. They are definitely a curse and a shame to their parents. The devastating thing is, our culture likes to talk more about how a parent is a curse to their child. Our culture minimizes discipline more and more. Our culture believes that a child should be left to grow the way a child wants to grow, as if that doesn't lead to destruction. They don't want our norms placed on them. A fool is quick-tempered with outbursts of all sorts. Sometimes it's angry outbursts, sometimes it's just his opinion. His opinion must be heard. A fool's tongue causes strife. That one came up again and again. A fool is unreliable and makes for dangerous company. I wanted to just read part of that chapter to you. It's chapter 26 if you want to open up to it. This describes how you ought to treat a fool, or how much trust you ought to put in a fool. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Don't give a fool honor. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Thank you, sages. That's really clear. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is the one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Are you a fool? I think that is one of the questions but Proverbs are meant to ask. Not, hey, look, this is what a fool looks like. Can you identify any in your life? No. This is the way of folly. This is the way of wisdom. Which one are you on? Do you fear the Lord? Do you obey the call of wisdom? Do you listen to instruction? The main marker of the fool throughout the Proverbs is whether they listen to instruction or whether they trust their own heart. Do you trust yourself? Do you follow your heart, Walt Disney? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And that's the work of the flying H. Boys in their folly, and we're there to answer them, and it hurts, and it's hard, and I'm constantly trying not to slide down the slippery slope of ending up the fool myself. They don't turn to instruction. I could tell you about two boys. I won't name them. I was talking with my wife. I like to use their names. I like to make it personal, but that's since we're talking about folly here. Two boys who, man, they would rage. They would just blow up. They'd freak out over the littlest things. One of them was folding a tent up, and one of the older boys very respectfully said, hey, man, you're going to have to redo that. That's not going to fit in the bag. Whoa, I don't want it. Throws his hands up, throws the tent. Marijuana addiction and just doing his own thing for years and never learning to work hard. He didn't want to put in that extra work to unroll the tent and try again. Everything was great up to that point. There was no trigger going on. It was just that he didn't want to do it again. Another kid who punched holes in our walls again and again and again until he punched a cork board that had a brick wall behind it. Boxer's fracture, and that went to the hospital, and big mess. Every time he hit something, I won't do that again, Mr. Francis. And he'd do it again. Because a fool outbursts. It's just going to come out. I could tell you about a kid. We've prayed for him before. He's home now. He's 16. Brilliant, really bright kid. Very intelligent. And he's at home, and he calls me. He says, Mr. Francis, my parents are being ridiculous. They don't want me doing this. They don't want me doing that. They're pushing their ideas on me. Dude, you're 16. You're under their roof. They pay for everything. They're your parents. What are you coming at me with about their foolish behavior? And watching this kid's life fall apart. He did really well in the program. He went home a couple months ago, and we had great plans for him. His parents had great plans for him, and it's all fallen apart again. Because he's committed to his own way. I could tell you about one of my boys. It's my mentee. And this is when I read this proverb. This is, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. And I'm at this point. He so easily provokes me. I so easily reach the end of it. And I'm just blown away by his self-centeredness, by his inability to restrain his tongue and quit lashing out at everybody around him. He's been in the program for over 19 months. His parents can't take him home because it won't work at home. And I'm constantly having to confess to my wife. I'm having to confess back to him, I'm sorry. I got really upset, I overreacted. I shouldn't have said that to you. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. We need your prayers. And the parents who send their boys to us need your prayers. And our society needs your prayers, because these boys are not some crazy outlier anymore. This is becoming the norm more and more in teenage and preteen lives. And it's what's being encouraged. The fool hates instruction because he trusts in his own way. 16:25 says, "A way seems right to a man, but its end is death." 1:29 says, "They hated knowledge and did not choose to fear God." Milo, will you come on up here, bud? Talk to Milo ahead of time. God has permission to use him. We're going to do a couple things here. Milo's going to be a fool. Then he's going to be wise, okay? But he doesn't know all the details here. But there's $5 somewhere waiting for you. Somebody's got them. $5, it's not much, I know, but I didn't want to, like, give a kid a bunch of money without parents' permission. And he's going to find it. The person I gave the $5 to knows I gave it to them, so please don't pull $5 out of your wallet. Can you find it? Yeah, it's one of them. How easy do you think it is if I just stand back and let you go for it and say you can ask three people? You think you can find it? Probably not. That would be a fool. But not a fool in spurning knowledge. That's a fool as in open-minded. They're naive. They're open to bad influence or positive influence. We could all start telling him, well, I know where it is. And he's open to it because he doesn't know. And that is something that is bound up in the heart of a child, but is separated from a child through discipline, the Proverbs tell us. Now we're going to do another foolish behavior here. I'm going to give you directions straight to the person. All right? Does that sound good? But you're a fool. You can't listen. Go ahead and put your hands in your ears in a second and say, la, 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 la. Go ahead. Make sure you can't hear me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right, go ahead and walk to your right. Why aren't you listening? Go ahead, walk to your right, and then stop. You're not going to go? It's right there. Go ahead and walk to your right. Okay, you can stop. He's not going to get there. We could let him choose his own way. There's a lot of faces out there today. He's not going to find it. The kingdom of God is a treasure hidden in a field. It's not hidden so that you'll never find it. It's hidden so that you'll obey God, fear the Lord. You'll find it and treasure it. You want to go find that? $5? Okay, listen to my instruction and trust me. Go ahead and walk forward 10 steps. Oh, wait, stop. Okay, turn around, come back this way. Turn to your right. Walk around the pew, along the front. Go ahead and sit down there for a minute. Sometimes following instruction means you have to wait. Sometimes you're convinced that you need to take things into your own hands, especially when you see somebody else out there. Milo, look at that. Walking around asking people for money, trying to steal your opportunity. The fool takes shortcuts. How likely do you think it is that he's going to find the $5? Right, because you're just sitting there, right? But if the one that you're trusting is trustworthy, which I am sometimes, Milo, go ahead and stand up. Walk to that wall. Stop before you hit the wall. Turn to your left. Walk about six steps or so. Go to Mr. Dobby and say, "I understand you have something for me." Thank you, Milo. Can we give a hand to Milo? And my son Titus for playing the fool there at the end for us. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We hate being told what to do. If you're not sure about that, think back to the last time somebody tried to give you parenting advice. It's one of them. And we're convinced that our perspective is the true perspective, the right perspective, because, hey, we're on the ground. Don't come at me telling me how to live until you've been through what I've been through. Heard that before? If a soldier is in a trench and his commanding officer is giving him orders, sure, he's in the trench, sure, he's on the ground, but he doesn't get to see what's out around him. He doesn't get to see what's around the corner. He doesn't know the more global impacts of what's going on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I'm sorry, that should be capitalized. And he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You cannot find the kingdom of God on your own. You cannot earn it. You cannot make it. Give up trying and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the treasure. Yield to God. He is your designer, your maker, the author, which makes him the authority of your life. So whether you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you do, but love your own way, yield. Yield to God. Yield to your authorities who teach the counsel of God. Father God, I love you, Lord, and I thank you that you use us, God. I thank you for your word, God. You are so worthy, and we are so unworthy, except in the blood of Jesus Christ. God, thank you for the treasure of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't leave us without instruction, God, that we know, as the Proverbs say, that wisdom is found even in the midst of the fools. It's there for us, God. It's there for our taking. Help us not to be fools. Help us not to choose the way of the fool. God, if anybody here today has not yielded to you, has not experienced the fear of you, God, and turned to your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, I pray that you would move in them today, that you would hound them, God, that you would cause them to know that peace only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, for those of us who know your Son, make us uncomfortable, God. Make us to know our need for you. Make us to know our need to pursue Jesus Christ. Help us to get in the Word, God, to sit in it, to meditate on it, to grow in it, Father. God, we thank you and praise you. Pray your blessings on this family. In Jesus' name, amen.